Today on Thanksgiving Day across America, Pastor Jeff Shreve will introduce us to the unknown God.
When we think about God in terms of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we know a lot more about God the Father, we know a lot more about God the Son, and we struggle sometimes with God the Holy Spirit. He's kind of mysterious to many of us. And sadly, some churches, they really have moved away from the Holy Spirit because they have seen abuses on television or in churches and things in the name of the Holy Spirit. And they say, well, I don't know about that. That seems like crazy stuff. So people get nervous about the Holy Spirit and they kind of back off. And that's a tragedy. God wants us to discover the wonderful person and power of the Holy Spirit, the unknown God to many of us.
Well, happy Thanksgiving from all of us at From His Heart. Hope that your day will be or has already been filled with genuine thanks. As we all know, this is a very difficult year to want to give thanks because so many people have been hurt and are struggling in our country and around the world. But here's the truth. When we go through tough times, we should not complain or grumble, but rather we should praise God despite what's happening. Because the Bible tells us, be thankful in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. We pray that you are giving thanks today. And today this message will bring you great hope from Pastor Jeff as he begins an extensive series of messages to help us understand the Holy Spirit. The series is called The Unknown God, Discovering the Person and the Power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Pastor, in this first message from this series called The Promise of the Spirit, Jesus made a few promises. What are they?
First, he told them that he was going to go away and let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Their hearts were troubled because he said he was leaving. We can all imagine, well, that would be the worst news you could possibly hear. And Jesus, in comforting them, said, I'm going to send another just like me. And he uses the Greek word for another that means another exactly the same. And so, although the Holy Spirit is a unique individual in the Trinity, he's the same as Jesus. So as we understand Jesus, as we interact with Jesus, we can do that same thing with the Holy Spirit.
Well, let's get started with the series and today's first message and discover the truth about the Holy Spirit and the wonderful things he wants to do in and through you and me to bring glory to Jesus. Open your Bible now to the 14th chapter of the book of John, as Pastor Jeff Shreve begins this series by comforting us in knowing that from God comes the promise of the Spirit.
I've entitled this new series, The Unknown God. Now, it's not because the Holy Spirit is unknown, but when we think about God in terms of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we know a lot more about God the Father. We know a lot more about God the Son. And we struggle sometimes with God the Holy Spirit. He's kind of mysterious to us. He's kind of like, not 100% sure about him. You know, he's kind of just a mystery to many of us. And sadly, some churches, they really have moved away from the Holy Spirit because they have seen abuses on television or in churches and things in the name of the Holy Spirit. And they say, well, I don't know about that. That seems like craziness. That seems if you go in with the Holy Spirit, you're going to start running laps around the church and jumping pews and picking up snakes. And you're doing just kind of some crazy stuff. So people get nervous about the Holy Spirit and they kind of back off. And that's a tragedy. God wants us to discover the wonderful person and power of the Holy Spirit, the unknown God to many of us. You see, I believe this, that when you and I really understand the person of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, the desire of the Holy Spirit as it relates to your life, your church, my church, your marriage, my marriage, our families, our community, our schools. When we really understand what he wants to do, and we get in sync with what he wants to do, and we join hands with what he wants to do, there's no telling all that he will do in and through us. You know, we talk a lot about life change, life change, life change. I was listening to a guy the other day, and he was saying, hey, preachers, quit telling everybody that every one of your sermons is this is going to change your life. He said, you know, if you say that every single time, then people, they get deadened to it. There's no sermon that's going to change your life. There's no teaching that's going to change your life. The one who changes your life is the Holy Spirit of God. He will change your life. He will change your marriage. He will change everything about you and about us and give us power to make such a difference in this community for Christ, starting in our own homes, starting in our own schools, starting in our own church. So let's embark today on the unknown God, discovering the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Now, the Gospel of John, as you know, is different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptic Gospels. Synoptic, which means seeing the same. That's why Matthew, Mark, and Luke cover the same stories. And they might give you a little different variation of that story, but they're very, very similar in what they talk about. John is very, very different. John's not a synoptic. He doesn't see the same. And John gives you much more dialogue and sermonizing and monologue, so to speak, from the Lord Jesus. If you have a red letter Bible edition, lots of red letters in the Gospel of John because Jesus is speaking so much in the Gospel of John. And from John 13 to John 17, we have all that Jesus taught that's recorded in Scripture during the Last Supper, during the night he was betrayed. And he told the guys, he said, listen, I'm only going to be with you a little longer, and then I'm going away. And so their hearts were troubled. It's like, wait, he's going away. Where is he going away? He told them he was going to be betrayed, and one of them was going to be the betrayer. Oh, no, this is terrible. And so their hearts are troubled, and he starts off John 14. He says, let not your hearts be troubled, because their hearts were troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And he says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. I said, Thomas, Lord, we don't know the way. Show us the way. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. And they were really struggling. And then Jesus says this to them. He talks to them about prayer. He talks to them about praying in his name. And then he talks to them about the promise of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 15 of John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Jesus is telling the disciples, the Holy Spirit is coming. It's the promise of the Spirit. Now, here's our question. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Three discoveries today. Discovery number one, the Holy Spirit is another just like Jesus. He's another just like Jesus. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, this is the Son praying to the Father, and he will give you another. Stop right there. He will give you another. Now, that's a key word in verse 16. I have it underlined in my Bible. Now, in Greek, you have two different words in the Greek New Testament, two different words for another. One word is heteros. Heteros means another that is different. It's similar, but it's different. And then there's another Greek word, allos. Allos means another that is exactly the same. Suppose I were writing and I have this particular pen and I'm at home and I'm writing something and this pen runs out of ink. And so I say to Debbie, I said, Debbie, can you get me another pen? This is a black pen. It is black ink. Can you get me another pen? And she says, sure, I get you another pen. And she gets me this pen. Well, this pen is red. This is a heteros pen. It's a pen just like this is a pen, but it's totally different than this one, right? Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will send another, not heteros, but an allos, another of the same exact kind. And here is a pen. And if I asked Debbie and we spoke Greek at the house, which we don't, we're just mostly Hebrew. And if we spoke Greek at the house and I said, Debbie, can you get me an allos pen? And she would get me this pen. It's exactly the same. See, this pen says compliments of Kathy Brolo, First Baptist Church, and it has our address. And you know what? This one says the same thing. They're exactly the same. They're the same color. They're the same weight. Everything is the same. Exactly the same. That's what Jesus said the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is another just like Jesus. Now, important to know that Jesus is just like the Father. He is the exact representation of the Father. That's who Jesus is. He came to show us the Father. The disciples asked him in John chapter 4. Philip asked him, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough. And Jesus said, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says this about Jesus, and he, Jesus, is the radiance of his glory, his meaning the Father's, and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. That's why he can say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I and the Father are one. And everything about the Father, his character, his nature, his glory, that's in me. That's who I am. The way the Father thinks, that's the way I think. The way the Father acts, that's the way I act, because I'm a chip off the old block. I am the same as he is, the exact representation of the Father. And the Holy Spirit is the exact representation of Jesus. The exact representation of Jesus. We say, well, what is the Holy Spirit like? He's like Jesus. So you read in the Bible and see, we struggle with understanding the Spirit so often, but if you understand the Son, then you can understand the Spirit, because the Spirit is another just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. And it's pretty wonderful when you think about it. He's going to send another just like Jesus. So there's Jesus that we have, and then we have another just like Jesus, the Spirit, and they're both there to work in our lives and to help us. And so here is the Holy Spirit. He thinks the way Jesus thinks. He acts the way Jesus acts. He reacts the way Jesus would react, because he's just like Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. That's who the Holy Spirit is. Third person of the Holy Trinity. Now notice, person. He's a person. The third person of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit, here's one of the problems that some of us have. We kind of see the Holy Spirit as a force. You know, like Star Wars, the force is with you. And we kind of see the Spirit like that. We don't see Jesus like that. Why? Because Jesus had a body. And so we're able to identify with him differently because he had a body. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a body, but the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force. He's not a fog. He's not a ghost. That's a bad translation of the Greek word pneuma. Pneuma is spirit, but the King James translators translated it ghost. And so for a long time, people thought of the Holy Spirit like the Holy Ghost. And what is a ghost? Kind of a phantom. Kind of now you see it, now you don't. I don't know where it was. It's just kind of some gaseous, nebulous mass just kind of floating around somewhere. And you say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. He's not a fog. He's not a force. He's not an it. He's a he, because he's a person. And he has a mind. He has a will. He has emotions. Did you know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit? The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, because you can. You can wound his heart. You can hurt him and make him sorry in his heart. And he just feels such grief when you and I sin against him. You know, the Bible, when before it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God who is in you, whom you've been sealed for the day of your redemption, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Before that, it says in Ephesians 4, 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Did you know when we let our mouth go and let our tongues loose in evil, in speaking things that tear people down and hurt people, and don't build them up, and they're not, your words don't have any grace to them, they just have fire to them, and they're just burning everything down, that grieves the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He can be grieved. But because he has emotions, not only can he be grieved, he can be gladdened. You and I can do things that will gladden the heart of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 15 says this, my son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Boy, when we say the right thing to another person, and when we speak the truth in love, that gladdens the heart of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He is the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, you've seen me use this before. It's a very crude illustration, but it's an illustration of the Trinity. And the reason I use it is because the Trinity is really, really hard to understand. As one theologian said, the Trinity, define it, you lose your mind. Deny it, you lose your soul. It is central to the Bible. Now, some have said, well, you know, if Trinity is so important, the word Trinity, Jeff, is not even used in the Bible. The word Trinity was a word that Tertullian, the early church father, came up with in the late 100s, early 200s AD. So how is Trinity so important? Well, here's the thing. Trinity is not used in the Bible. Neither is the word missions used in the Bible, but we all agree missions are very, very important. Trinity is not used in the Bible, but it's taught in the Bible, and it's taught in the Bible in the very first chapter of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, where God says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That's what God says. Now, we know there's one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That's the Hebrew Shema. That's what they would repeat every single day. They knew God was one, but one God is revealed in three persons. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, like this three-legged stool. Now, in this three-legged stool, each one of these legs is separate and distinct, but each one of these legs is the same. And if you were to look at this and you say, well, I guess you have three stools up there, Jeff. No, I don't have three stools. I have one stool. One stool that has three legs, and if you take away a leg, then the stool doesn't work. God exists in Trinity. He exists in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son is just like God the Father, the exact representation of his nature. And God the Holy Spirit is just like God the Son. And they're all, the three are one, and they're all exactly the same, but they're distinctly three different persons. Some people say, well, you know, if Jesus, if he were God, then how did he pray in the garden to himself? He was praying to the Father, but he's God, so he's praying to himself. No, he's God the Son praying to God the Father. They're one, but they're separate and distinct. God the Father didn't die on the cross. God the Holy Spirit didn't die on the cross. God the Son died on the cross. But the Holy Spirit is God. And the way you know that beyond any shadow of any doubt, Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, where Ananias and Sapphira, when they brought an offering to the Lord, but they were lying about it. They said, well, we sold this property for this amount, and we're giving this whole amount to the work of the Lord. And they lied because they kept back some of the profit for themselves. And Peter said this in Acts chapter 5, verse 3. He said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but to God, because the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus said to the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because Jesus is God. And the Holy Spirit says to us today, if you have seen me, you have seen the Son, because the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit. So that's the first discovery. He is another just like Jesus. Second discovery, the Holy Spirit is the divine paraclete. The divine paraclete. You say, paraclete, what does that mean? Well, paraclete is a transliterated word. It's a word in the English dictionary, paraclete. It comes from the Greek word parakletos. And parakletos is what is used here for the word in the New American Standard, helper. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, allos, just the same, allos, just like I am, another helper, parakletos, that he may be with you forever. Now, a parakletos is a combination word, para and kaleo, which means called alongside. Called alongside to render aid. That's what that word parakletos means. And it translates it in the New American Standard and many other versions, helper. Some translations, comforter, the King James comforter. I will send you another comforter. Some translate it, I will send you another advocate. We know that Jesus is our advocate because the scripture says that in 1 John chapter 2. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So this is going to be another one, and he's just like Jesus, although he doesn't have a body. He's just like Jesus, and he does the very same things that Jesus does because he's another helper. He's called alongside to help us. Now, that's a very awesome thought when you let your mind loose in the fact that, hey, the Lord has, when he left, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you, but I'm going to come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be your helper. He's called alongside to help you. Now notice, doesn't say the Lord is my condemner. The Lord is the one who beats me up. The Lord is the one who every day tells me how crummy I am and how bad I'm doing and how rotten I am as a wife, as a husband, as a dad, as a mom, as a kid. As a coach, as an employee, as an employer. He's not that. Jesus said the Father didn't send the Son into the world to condemn the world. He could have done that, but he didn't do that. That the world, he says, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And so that was the mission of the Lord Jesus, to seek and to save that which was lost. The Holy Spirit is another just like that, and he comes to help you, not to condemn you.
You're listening to part one of the message called The Promise of the Spirit from Pastor Jeff's series, The Unknown God, Discovering the Person and Power of the Holy Spirit. He'll have part two for us tomorrow. Now, today is the first day that we're making you aware of a special Holy Spirit-filled devotional book that is brand new and will help you appreciate and appropriate the power of the Spirit this next year. It's entitled The Spirit of God Within You. And it includes daily devotions to offer comfort and contentment through walking with the Holy Spirit. This is a beautiful book. It's a keepsake book, and you'll enjoy it for many, many years to come. These devotions will also surely strengthen your faith with inspiring messages, uplifting scripture, and heartfelt prayers from 52 trusted pastors and church leaders, including Pastor Jeff Shreve. This brand new devotional book is our gift of thanks to you for your support this month to From His Heart, of $20 or more. Just request The Spirit of God Within You when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. Well, I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart, and we trust that you'll continue to have a blessed Thanksgiving and be able to join us on Friday for part two of The Promise of the Spirit. Join us then when we'll again open God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.